This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan on this Thursday morning. The rain is falling, your ears are open, the radio waves are flying through your car, your speaker, your house. Thank you for having us on this wonderful Thursday morning. I say wonderful, we need the rain.
Yeah.
Dry out there. Purple Rain or No Rain by Blind Melon, better song.
Purple Rain. Not that No Rain by Blind Melon isn't a great song, but I mean, I think Purple Rain's a classic, you know?
You're old enough like I am. When you hear the song Blind Melon, No Rain, do you think of the little girl in the Bumblebee outfit?
Of course, yeah. Yeah. How could you not think of anything else? I mean,
Gone Too Soon, their lead singer. That band was awesome.
That was mid-90s, because I was in high school when that came out.
There was an old cover band that used to come to Jerry's Bait Shop in downtown Lee Summit. Now it's called Conrad's, and they were called 90 Minutes. Awesome. I mean, all they played was like Pearl Jam and Blind Melon.
Oh,
and
nice.
All that Soundgarden, that type of music. It was awesome.
Oh, and were they good?
Oh, yeah. It was appointment television.
Well, if you're playing at Jerry's Bait Shack, I mean, you
Bait
are.
Shop,
oh, because yeah. Bait Shack was in Lenexa. Bait Shop was over there, too. I don't know if they're probably the same, I would imagine.
Oh, and that was back in the day when you get like five. Remember Pitchers?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Remember Pitchers, how cool they were when you went in rotation? You only spent like 10 bucks a night. You're like, I'll get this pitcher. Like, oh, we're back to me already?
Yeah.
Well, we only need one more. Of course we do.
Yeah. I remember Dollar Pitcher Night at the Crossing in Lawrence, but we were, it was Thursday. I tell you, today's Thursday, Dollar Pitcher Nights at the Crossing, right? I got to the point where, you know, with my OCD and all that kind of stuff, I get, you know, and so I would bring my own pitcher. And I'd sit there and just drink out of the pitcher on the balcony or on the porch out front back in the day when it was open. But they would do dollar pitchers at the Crossing. Everybody would steal the pitchers or whatever. They would have like two or three there. So I would just go get my own pitcher and bring it in and have it filled up, and they wouldn't care. And it was a smart move by me back in the day.
I remember I think it was the Field House in Columbia. For those of you listening on the text line, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the Field House. They had penny pitchers.
Oh, God.
On Wednesday night. And they had, I think it was $5 Long Island pitchers.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. Who the hell could drink all that, man? I mean, my God.
Juice all over the
get
place.
Get the DeLorean and go back to
I guess college penny pitchers. Yeah.
Go back to 2008 and you'll see me at the Field House.
That was 2008 they were doing penny pitchers?
I'm sure.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I graduated in 06. I was 18. 2008, I turned 21. 21 that summer, and we went and visited friends in Columbia. Yeah, it was around that time.
That's crazy that late in life, and I say in years, like, because my dad used to talk about penny pitchers, you know, in the 60s and whatever. Oh, yeah, we had penny pitchers at the Strollo's Bar, and I'll never forget. That was like 1968. Here we are, 2008, still doing penny pitchers.
Where are the Royals going to be in 2028?
Well, I don't know. Well, 28?
Oh, yeah,
28. 38? Nobody knows. And that's not a good thing. I was
38 the spot with Holly Starr.
Yeah.
That was my first love.
Was Holly your first love?
Her or the Watsons lady?
The Watson girl was, yeah.
Watson! Yeah. Yes!
Come on down to Watson's and get in the hot tub. Like, Dad, we should get a hot tub. He's like, Dusty, you're going to learn things in life.
Yeah. Don't spend money on a hot tub. Have a friend that has a hot
tub. You get everything that's selling in that hot tub. You just get the tub, Dusty.
They don't give you that water, you know. You got to fill that up yourself.
And that's the first time my dad said he loved me.
Yeah.
He's like, good night, Dusty. Hey, by the way, love you.
Love you, kid. So anyway, this Royals thing is a mess, guys. And let's work it through. And this has nothing to do with it being in Kansas or being in Missouri, because yesterday the state of Kansas and Clay County both told the Royals, we're done negotiating with you. We are done negotiating with you as an organization right now. And people are going to be wondering what went wrong. I'm just going to read from Fox 4's article from Clay County Commissioner Jason Withington, who is posting. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes. Clay County Commissioner Jason Withington said on Facebook, like Kansas, I'm done negotiating with the Kansas City Royals. Last year, we were told the team wanted to be on the November 2025 ballot. We worked in good faith all summer long to make that happen. As the August deadline approached, we were told then they wanted to move to the April 26 ballot at the earliest. Tomorrow was the deadline we gave them to meet that timeline. They've now told us they aren't ready for that either. At some point, you stop negotiating and start being honest about what's actually happening. And so North Kansas City is basically calling it, according to Withington, a closed chapter for the Kansas City Royals. Yesterday on Channel 9, we saw the vice president of the Senate speak yesterday for the state of Kansas. And I will pull this up here and give you exactly what was said in that conversation. Yeah. Kansas House Speaker Dan Hawkins tells Channel 9 that the Royals reached out after the 12/31 deadline asking if Kansas had, quote, wiggle room to get a stadium deal done. He said Kansas is moving on. So you now have the state of Kansas. You now have Clay County all telling the Royals, we're done negotiating with you. Now, there's offers out there. Let's not kid ourselves. Doesn't mean the offers don't stand. It just means we are done negotiating with you. Stop trying to play everybody against each other. From what I understand, the Royals have a deal with the state of Kansas. The state of Kansas believes they have a deal with the Kansas City Royals. I was in Topeka 2 weeks ago for the Chiefs thing, right? Everybody up there that I was talking to with the state was like, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. We're going to get this Royals thing, you know, next. We want to give every team their kind of their own due in Topeka and celebrate each team the way that we're going to celebrate each team. We feel they each deserve their own day. Fine, that's great. They also believed at one point that they were going to have a Royals announcement in the state of Kansas before they had a Chiefs announcement in the state of Kansas. We were talking about this morning, and Dusty, I think you made the analogy of like, this is like closing time at the bar and you feel like you're ready to go home with somebody, but you're still trying to play the field and it ends up backfiring. That's kind of what's going on with the Kansas City Royals right now. I used to want a downtown baseball stadium. I thought that was the way to go for Major League Baseball. And then the business of baseball started to kind of get in the way of everything. And you're starting to see that a stadium alone can't support a winning baseball team. You need everything else around it. You need a big TV deal. You need the ancillary income that comes in from having the ballpark village. That's why all of these teams are trending to go that way, to build these ballpark villages. The Royals have a deal with the state of Kansas for basically 270 acres of land in Johnson County, which if you draw a 5-mile radius around Sprint Campus, 50% of your season ticket holders are right there. You draw a 10-mile radius around Sprint Campus, 70% of people who attended more than one Royal game live within 10 miles of the Sprint Campus. It's also 270 acres. Washington Square Park is 9 acres. That's a big difference, right? It's a big difference when you're trying to develop a 24/7, 365-day-a-year venue where people can come down. Now, I know that John Sherman's been in conversations with the Hall family, having conversations about downtown. I don't know what those conversations were about, but I know those conversations have been happening. I also know that the state of Kansas believes, as you heard from Dan Hawkins yesterday, we're done. We thought we had a deal with the Royals. We know we had a deal with the Royals. And now at the last minute, we don't. And Clay County's now at the last minute, they don't. What's the common denominator here? It's the Royals. This is not on Kansas, and this is not on Missouri, and this is not on Jackson County. This is not on Clay County. This is on the Royals and John Sherman for not getting this deal done when they had the opportunity to get this deal done. I spoke to somebody yesterday who's very in the know on this and texted me. They go, I don't know what I can tell you, but it's not good. And so that was one of the biggest, eye-opening texts that I received about this. And I know people in ownership are not happy with what's going on right now because there are a group of owners out there, right? There's 25 owners, whatever it is, that's involved. And I can tell you there's divisiveness amongst the owners about what's going on right now with this Royals team. In Major League Baseball, you keep all the money for your franchise that is made in your stadium and in your stadium complex. That is not shared revenue. Since John Sherman has bought this team, I have been told that they want to do a battery style area like Atlanta. The battery in Atlanta is 75 acres, roughly 22 bars and restaurants, 587 homes, two hotels and office buildings on 75 acres. The Battery alone last year for Atlanta, for the Braves, made them $75 million. The Royals TV deal, which may not even happen anymore, is worth about $50 million. The Atlanta Braves made $75 million just for having the Battery and for having the real estate. And that is $75 million that is all theirs that they do not have to share on 75 acres. They brought in 9 million people to the Battery last year. 9 million people came through that area and spent money that goes right to the Atlanta Braves. The Royals have an opportunity to build their stadium and their Battery on a plot of land that's four times bigger than what the Battery in Atlanta offers, and they're going to try to shoehorn something into 9 acres downtown in an area where the voters told you no in a 60-40 margin less than 2 years ago. You're going to try to cram it into a park and circumvent the people? This has got disaster written all over it, man. And I am all about baseball teams and football teams making their money so they can survive in this market. You need in baseball now that ancillary revenue. The ancillary revenue, you tell me where you're going to make more. With 270 acres in the middle of where your fans are and where the population center of Kansas City is, or a 9 acres in downtown, where you still have to acquire more property to get whatever you would want. It's a mess, guys. I have no idea anymore what this organization is going to do with their stadium, because you have people now in Clay County who are done. You have people in Kansas who are done talking to these guys. I mean, it went from we got a deal in Kansas to we got nothing. it's a mess, man.
This guy, the question as well, but I can already hear him say it's not going to be a blowout. There's just no way it's going to be a blowout by the Chiefs. So it's not happening in Kansas.
You can read between the lines. Here's our deal. No more negotiating. You want it, you can have it, but we're not negotiating anymore. You're not going to continue.
Stay on, boys.
You're not going to continue to play everybody against everybody else. And I do think it's a bad business decision for the Royals to go downtown based on where baseball is. I'm thinking about the long-term success of this organization. Where are you going to have more long-term success? Being able to generate money 365 days a year on a 270-acre plot of land or on a 9-acre plot of land downtown. And people in this town go, I don't want to go downtown. There's nowhere to park. Everybody puts up a barrier when it comes to going downtown. That every time you talk about downtown, oh, where are we going to park? I don't know. It's no good. Whatnot. The parade thing happened. People don't want to go downtown. I hear it all the time from people. They don't want to go to Overland Park. They don't want to go to Northland. It is what it is, right? People don't want to go downtown. And so if you build that stadium downtown, you're not going to make the amount of money that you can make by building the stadium in the Village out where you can expand, have more hotels, have more companies, all this kind of stuff, bringing in revenue. And so where I stand right now is if this stadium ends up going downtown, again, fine, do what you want. I do not want to hear we can't compete because we are a small market, because you have an opportunity to take 270 acres of land and build this Village that's going to generate you revenue 365 days a year that downtown just can't do because it doesn't have the availability of the land to do that, or the people to do that as well. The amount of people that live out south, Johnson County, even Jackson County out south, Lee Summit, all that area, it's a lot more than live downtown. So the Royals, they can do what they want. You know, but from a business standpoint, to not build that stadium in the state of Kansas, where Kansas has given you a better deal than Missouri will, and to not have that the ability to take that land and to turn that into revenue 365 days a year, gone are the we can't afford this player or we can't afford that player. You were given that opportunity to build that Village to be able to support and make this ball club the best they can. And we're playing these games and, you know, everything's going on behind the scenes that's going on right now.
So if I can be the other side of the conversation,
yeah,
I love a downtown ballpark.
I do too.
I don't care if there's a Village. I have my city right there. Mm-hmm. I have the Power and Light District over there. I have the Crossroads District over there. If I want, I can go to Riverside right down the road as well.
Does nothing to generate money for the ball club, though.
Okay, but I'm not talking about the ball club. I'm talking about the people that go watch the ball club. And it not only that, but it would stay in the side of Missouri, which mm-hmm. I think myself, if I'm going to be honest, I love that.
Sure.
I don't want to lose both of my teams. I have one at least still. And I don't think that the majority of the people voted no because of the Royals. I think a lot of people voted no because of the Chiefs' plan And I think it was a poor put-up plan by both organizations. And I've said this before, that I think when they delivered this project, it looked like a project that was due at the end of the semester, that you had all semester to work on it. And these two organizations put up a project in the last final week of the semester. I don't think that everybody voted no on a downtown stadium. I think certain people did because of the botched plan that was given to them. And I think there are a lot of people in this city that would love a downtown stadium. And I understand that, yes, there is more money to be made if you put up a village and you put up all this area. I just think that in my heart of hearts, I would love nothing more than to see a stadium in downtown, stay in Missouri, and have it there, and just to know that it's there. And I do love the area that they talk about. And again, I'm just being a fan of myself. I'm not trying to be politically one way or the other. But again, I understand that they're, you know, the things that have gone on behind the scenes are murky, and they're not, you know, the way that they sounded they were gonna be. But
I mean, we're 2026. John Sherman told us we'd have a decision in early spring or early summer.
Yeah, they were supposed to be before the Chiefs.
Yeah. Oh, they were. The they state were of track, Kansas was yeah. ready. They're ready. The state of Kansas was ready for all of this. It to me, I would always love a downtown stadium, but the business has changed in baseball and in professional sports. We were going through the valuations of these teams in professional sports. The Yankees are worth $8 billion. The Dodgers are worth, what, $5.6 billion, $5.8, something like that. The Royals are worth $1.2 billion. It's not about the worth of your team. It's about the way that you generate money. And when you go to other ballparks and see what they are doing right now, the Royals at Kauffman Stadium are a million years behind the curve in generating money at their ballpark. And I even think a new ballpark downtown without the 365-day-a-year cash cow that you can have in building a village that delivers what people want, I think you're putting yourself at a financial disadvantage. And baseball now is about how much money you can generate in your own city, in your own ballpark, in your own area, because all that money you get to keep. Going downtown is great. I love the aesthetics of it, but it doesn't make my ball club better. It doesn't make the team better. It doesn't generate more money that they can put back into the product like a 270-acre site with millions of businesses and restaurants could do. And so if they want to go downtown, I'm fine with that. I like the downtown baseball aspect of things. But I don't want to hear this organization ever again say we can't and have financial restrictions.
That's fair. I mean, I get that. But I mean, I would almost be willing to say today that if they did put it up to a vote to put it downtown, just the Royals were on the ballot and just the information that we have now, I bet it's a complete flop of the vote of the result was 2 years ago. I bet it would be 60-40 yes.
I don't know.
Because you've lost the Chiefs.
I understand that.
That plays to effect.
Yep.
If you actually have a plan and give the people an actual accurate blueprint of just one spot and show them what it's going to be and show them where it's going to be and how it's going to be and it's this team only, I think you'd have more clarification of what people would be getting themselves into. And I think they would have more, I don't know what I'm going to say, expertise, but they'd have more knowledge going into the vote to where it's just like, you know, after this.
But I don't think they're going to even need a vote if they choose this site. But that's the problem. You're going to a site where the voters legitimately told you no 2 years ago, and you're going to try to circumvent that by putting it in a park. And that's not going to sit well with the voters. I don't even know that that sits well with the city council members who represent that district. I mean, you got to think about them going, wait a second here. We got re-elections coming up and things like that. Like, you're going to try to shoehorn a stadium in where people don't want it without a vote. I think it's going to get very, very ugly before it gets clearer with what's going on. Because as this stuff starts to come out, people start to wake up. People will start to get angry, you know, put their angry pants on, their protest pants on. I think this thing is just going to continue to get ugly if we don't get clarification on it, especially with Kansas and Clay County yesterday saying we're no longer negotiating.
Is there something to be said about the difference in cities, you know, size, culture, everything with Atlanta and Kansas City and maybe not trying to mimic their profit plan? Or,
well, I mean, that's the best profit plan in baseball right now, right? And that's what everybody's doing. You look at these stadiums. St. Louis obviously has done it. San Diego has kind of done a little bit of that as well. And obviously the Chicago Cubs have done a lot of that because I've heard a lot of comparisons of what they've done at Wrigleyville, and they'd like to do stuff like that and whatnot. You've got the people to do it. 119th is an entertainment wasteland. There's nothing there, right? You go downtown, you're competing with Power and Light. You're competing with the Currents area, right? You go to 119th, that's all you.
I don't know if you're competing with the Currents area.
Sure you are. That new area that's all connected now with the streetcar downtown. And, oh, yeah, that's all competing entertainment dollars right in that area.
And I think Power and Light would shake hands with that deal. Where are you going to go after the game? Now, more often you're going to go to Power and Light.
Yeah, but how are you going to make money then? If everybody's going to Power and Light and leaving your area, you're not making money.
Well, they're
going
to go to your area for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, but they're not going to stay there and have beers afterwards or have beers beforehand. It's all about the – I don't care about the stadium. Take the stadium out of the equation.
Yeah.
It is all about the real estate around the stadium. That is the important part of this thing. You can get that in Overland Park. You could have gotten that up in Clay County. You cannot – get that in downtown Kansas City. And that's the issue right there. It's not about the stadium. The stadium has nothing to do with this. It's about the real estate development around there to make your ball club the best you possibly can with the resources you can possibly give them to put the best product out there on the field. And that comes from the money that you generate in your area, in your town. And you can generate a lot more money out south with 270 acres than trying to shoehorn a stadium into 9 acres and then having to buy ancillary properties all around to try to build the village that you could already build with the land one of your owners has already purchased.
What about Coors Field?
They got a lot of development around there, yeah.
Yeah, and that's in downtown, right?
Yeah.
Downtown Denver, great area.
Great ballpark.
They did it. But this area, for whatever reason, fights the downtown all the time.
Okay. I'm just wondering what's keeping it. It's cooperation. It's a lot of other
things.
I think
that every city's different. And I think you have to hit where your city is most popular and where it can thrive. And I think downtown stadium for the Royals would be that spot, in my personal opinion. I have no issue. Like, I want them to stay. I'll be selfish and admit it. Hi, Dusty Liggett, selfish Royals fan, wants you to stay in Kansas City. I just, that's where I am. But I don't know, again, like, I'm like everybody else. I don't know where it's going. But again, like, I know that there are areas in this city for that, for what this team could be down there that could thrive, that could develop, that could become a big spot down there.
Wherever they end up, this whole thing has been a disaster with the way it's been handled.
For sure, 100%.
And when Clay County and the state of Kansas both come out and say, we're done, I think that points the spotlight on who's not handling this situation the right way.
Fair. I mean, yeah. Again, it is some of the big news today. You go to whatever news alley you want. Any radio station you listen to, they'll talk about it. It is that stadium's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Talk once again for the Kansas City Royals. But coming up on the other side, I do want to get into what Tomlin had to say yesterday. Plus, Peacock is adding a feature that you can mute. That's right. We'll talk about it next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.